Welcome to Historinauts, where we retell Philippine history
one inuman at a time.
I'm that newly opened library / rooftop bar where you can get some shots while reading classical literature, Tequila Mockingbird. PX.
That's too long.
Hi, I'm Shaken, not Stirred. My name is Burn.
What a fucking long intro.
Sabi mo mag-isip
it doesn't matter. Welcome to our pilot episode.
Hello, pilot episode. Yes,
this is it. We've been harping the entire week about this. So
not just a week.
This is it. This is all we got. It's not much, but we hope you like.
It's not much, but it's home.
But okay. Yeah, it's not much, but it's home. But hi, ang hirap mag-ano ng outline kapag medyo tipsy ka na, no? So what's Historinauts? Just a quick intro. I don't know. You tell them.
Fine. Pressure, but fine. Sige. Well, Historinauts is a passion project. I don't know who here who's listening has ever heard of Drunk History. It's a really, really nice TV series in Comedy Central by Derek Waters, where they parang talk about just fun and interesting history tidbits while they're drunk.
And which I am
it
now.
It makes it more fun because apparently, well, I am too. Kind of. Papunta, pero wala pa doon. I mean, everything is better when you're drunk, right?
Except, I don't know. I can't think of anything, but whatever.
Except when you're filing taxes.
Why would you file taxes when you're drunk?
That's the point. You don't.
Hi, so we're just gonna be retelling Philippine history while we're drunk. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm bored, okay? You just want to do stuff like this. But do you like history, PX?
I love history. I especially love... Alam mo, I mean, all week long, I've been thinking kung ano yung perfect na description for me with this specific podcast. Kasi I'm just here to flex my ignorance. I don't know anything. I don't know shit.
That is such a droughty reference.
Sorry, pero I'm just here to flex my ignorance. If anybody, anybody who's listening who didn't get that reference, please watch yung YouTube channel na Droughty. They're a great, great channel with great, wholesome content. Pero, yes, I don't know shit. I don't know anything. Wala akong alam. I'm mainly here para mag-react.
You're gonna have a kwento anyway then, so yeah.
Yeah, but like, I think the weight ng contribution ko tonight would be to react. Which I am ready to do.
I hope I could read it well. What's your score in history?
Okay, to be honest, medyo hindi ako history fan nung
college.
High school at saka nung college. Kasi I hate dates. I hate remembering dates. I hate remembering kung ano yung mga ginawa ni Rizal nung specific year na to. Kasi yun yung naalala ko lagi nung college eh.
Why is it just always Rizal? My score in history nung college was 1.
You were asking for score na grade. Oh no. Akala ko.
What were you thinking?
Akala ko nag-ask akong gusto.
I was asking score. Are you thinking like old scores? Oh, something no. Like that? Or like what's really happening between you and history?
No.
Like what's your status? Are you like friends? Or did you have a falling out?
I was basically ghosted by history. Nag-date kami for 3 weeks, and then I thought it was going great, Pero biglang ginost niya ako out of the blue.
You dated for 3 weeks, but you hate dates.
We pumunta kami ng Star City. I thought it was going great. Tapos biglang hindi na siya nag-reply sa akin after.
Wala nang Star City. Yeah. Diba nasunod na siya?
Alam mo, hindi ko pa yung binabasa yun hanggang ngayon. Pero in my mind, buhay pa rin yung Star City, and then I would like to live in that fantasy.
Okay, fine.
Until now. But yung, okay, if yung grade ko in history, yung pag-uusapan natin, I don't think I remember. Feeling ko, not to flex, pero I think naka-uno ata ako ng history ng college.
I got uno on my second take. No, let me explain that. I didn't fail it the first time. Because I transferred schools. Mm-hmm. I was from Lasal Dasma. Tapos, I took history there. I think I was at 3.75. Kasi baliktad ang Lasal, diba? So, 3.75 and then...
Wait, so 3.75 would be... That would be average pa din, diba?
No, it's high. Kasi 4 yung pinakamataas.
Ah, kasi paakyat. Oh, you're yeah, right.
3.75 LaSalle. Tapos when I transferred to Lyceum in Manila, for some reason...
Lyceum. Sorry.
Lyceum.
Lyceum.
Lyceum. For some reason, hindi nila kinredit yung history ko sa LaSalle. So I had to take it again. And that is why I got uno, because god damn it, this is my second take. I've learned everything that I need to learn about this one. But no, that's not true. But
yeah,
anyway.
Parang nag all stars for history. Yun yung ano mo. All-stars,
I'm like Vanji. I'm like Vanji.
Season 11 Vanji came back. Tapos did better for history. Specifically history lang.
Should we start? You should tell the first kwento. Wait, I have no idea what your kwento is.
No, yun nga eh. See, hindi natin na figure out kung sino yung una magkakwento. Never mind, just go start. Fuck, akala ko ikaw yung magkakwento first.
Sige. No, you do it.
Medyo madaya, pero sige.
Just in case people are wondering, we're not faking this, ha? I'm really mm-hmm. tipsy right now.
Really?
Obvious, kasi nag-i-English ako, so.
I mean, nag-i-English ka naman kahit sober ka.
Hindi,
Oh, kaya... Kung sino man nakikinig na to na fans ng Cha Astrology, this is your Cha Astrology, Gemini Burn.
Crossover! No, just kidding. Come on, go start. We're like talking for 8 minutes and.
Okay, fine. Okay, well.
What's your kwento?
Nakwento ka na before? Sorry. I mean, nasabi ko na siya before. Pero yung kwento ko is about yung Pepsi number fever, which I asked you. Hindi mo alam kung ano yung story about Pepsi number fever.
No, I don't.
Pero, this happened. In 1992, which was your 7 years old?
I have no idea. I'm bad at math. What's 1992 minus 1986?
6 going to 7 years old, which is kind of the same
thing. Okay, I'm 6 okay. years old. That's
it.
I'm not allowed to drink Pepsi yet.
Wait, oh, by the way. Pepsi number fever yung story ko, and I'm also drinking some brandy with Pepsi. So this is not sponsored by Pepsi. Pero
I wish it was.
If merong gusto mag-sponsor from Pepsi, who's listening right now?
This is just like our first episode that we're asking for sponsors.
Feeling ko, rite of passage in for any starting podcast out there. Okay, Gabe.
That would be fun. Anyway, yeah, you should go.
I'm gonna start.
I have no idea what this story is.
Ooh,
I don't really remember it happening.
Let's see if I can do it justice. Pero, it's 90s in the Philippines, and then mm-hmm. Pepsi was number 2 sa cola industry dito sa Philippines. Because, surprise, surprise, who do you think was number 1?
Fanta. Fanta had like 5 flavors back in the 90s.
Orange, grape. Orange and grape lang yung alam kong flavors ng Fanta / Royal.
I think they have apple or something. But I don't remember, but I know there are 5. And they're like, excuse me, 5 pesos lang yata before.
Well,
I think... That's my entire baon in elementary. So that's all the money I have. I'm gonna buy Fanta for fuck's sake.
Nobody knew it as Fanta dito sa Philippines. How did you even know na Fanta yun dito?
Because it says Fanta in the bottle.
No! It says Royal. Royal yung alam ko eh.
No! This is in the 90s. In the 90s, you were like a baby.
Well, 1992, I wasn't even born yet. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was already in school.
So. Already, first episode pa lang, already flexing.
I know, okay.
Yeah. Sige, game. Well, imagine the 90s in the Philippines, diba? Boy bands galore. Tabing Ilog. I wanna say Tabing Ilog. Is it already in the 90s?
Late 90s.
Late 90s? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 90s, Philippines. Pepsi was number 2 sa cola industry. Number 1 was Coca-Cola. Obviously, Coca-Cola was number 1. And they really wanted to, like, parang, be number 1 sa Coca-Cola, sa cola industry. Gusto nila, basically, gusto nila na parang maging
the top
oligarch. The top. They wanted to be the top. Sobrang pagod na sila maging bottom. No. But like, yeah, they tried so many things para maging number one. Like, they actually, this is one of the things na nagulat ako that they ever did. Kasi I grew up in the 90s, but I never knew that they did this. Gumawa pala sila ng ano, they marketed Pepsi AM. Did you know about this? Pepsi AM?
What's Pepsi
AM? It was Pepsi, pero it had 28% more caffeine. So, parang, it was an alternative.
Like coffee?
Sorry, oh my god, that was my desk. Yeah, it was an alternative to coffee in the morning.
What?
They would make people drink coffee. Oh, sorry. They would make people drink yung Pepsi AM in the coffee in the morning. Oh my god. See? This is proof that we're actually drinking. Tonight.
You're not
making shit up. This is actually true.
Bulol na
anyway.
Siya.
Yeah. They marketed Pepsi AM para makipaglaban sa coffee. So people would drink Pepsi AM in the morning instead of coffee kasi Pepsi AM had like 28% more caffeine than regular Pepsi.
That was so weird because coffee is not even their main competitor. It's Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I know. What? Yung competitor is Coca-Cola. Why would you
venture parang coffee? Like magkatabi si Coca-Cola and say Nescafe. Tapos Pepsi wants to be in Coca-Cola's position, but he attacks Nescafe, which is like like reading a book there in the corner. What are you doing?
Parang ano. Kasi, yeah, sabi ni Pepsi parang it's kind of hard para i-attack yung popular jock sa school. So let's go for the silent nerd na walang kinakalaban. But yeah, they did that, pero it kind of failed. Hindi pa rin nila naungusan yung Coca-Cola in sales.
So, obviously.
Sige, mamaya na. So, in 1992, they made like a whole contest out of it. So, they made yung Pepsi Number Fever, which was basically them. Parang, it was kind of like a sweepstakes na parang they would print out specific numbers ranging from 001 to 999 sa bawat bottle cap. Bottle cap.
Ah, fuck.
Bottle cap inside each, like, bottle ng Pepsi, 7-Up, tsaka Mirinda. And then, they, depending on the number that you would get, you were gonna get, parang, you could get, like, a price of 100 pesos to 1 million pesos.
Cool.
Oh. Ano yung makukuha mong number. So, yeah, it was basically like Lotto, na parang every day, they would have, like, this TV show na sasabihin na, the winning number is, like, 558. Oh. Ganyan. And then you would get, like, yung 1 million peso na price. Something like that. That was, like, each time, okay, they would, there would be, like, 2 grand prizes, which, like, would be, like, 1 million pesos. Ganyan. Yeah. So, that worked for them for quite a bit. Parang, they started in February 1992, tapos parang prices rose. Pero, like, I mean, like all stories, eventually they would fuck up, right? So, parang, okay, I think nag-hang ako right now. Oh no. Nag-hang ba ako? Oh no. Nag-hang ako, no?
Yes, you were. Okay. I couldn't hear you for like 3 full seconds.
No, nasaan ako before I stopped?
I don't know. You said that it was working out for them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was working out for them for quite a bit. Like, started in Feb 1992, and then they were going strong, ganun. Tapos parang, cut to like May 1992. Mm-hmm. May 25 specifically. Also, whoever's listening, please know, we're actually drunk. So, maybe we can get some details wrong. So, please, don't add us. Actually, add us. Pwede kayo mag-comment sa socials namin, say na we're wrong, and then sabihin nyo na ito yung specific na date or specific na detail. Maglalabas kami ng addendum sa susunod na episode. But anyway, yeah.
It's an erratum, not an addendum.
Sorry. Anyway, moving on. yeah, May 25, 1992, it was supposed to be another normal day, you know. They were supposed to parang announce, like, the next 2 winners na makaka-receive ng 1 million pesos, you know. But, what happened was, there was, like, a quote-unquote, a computer error, na instead of them printing the specific number ng winner ng grand prize, kasi every time there was supposed to be like 2 winners now. Every grand prize. They printed out the winning number in 800,000 bottle caps. Like, 800,000 bottle caps.
What?
I know. So, like,
oh
yeah.
My
so,
god.
So, imagine, parang, that night they were gonna announce the winning number, and then 800,000 people have that same number and said, "Oh fuck, I just want 1 million pesos." Tang ina, I can actually get this from Pepsi. Tapos tang ina, millionaire na ako, ganun. Fuck. Pero
I'm so
yeah, kasi the.
Ilan 800,000?
800,000. 800,000 bottle caps were printed that day with the same winning number. It was, the winning number was...
That's 8 with so many zeros. I don't know. Sorry, what?
349 was the winning number. That winning number was printed on 800,000 bottle caps. Fuck. I didn't even know that this happened.
God.
I know. Yeah, so like imagine you na uminom ng Pepsi tapos nakinig ng TV show na mag-announce ng winning number and then fuck, sabi 349. Tapos pagtingin mo sa bottle cap mo, fuck, 349 yun na sa bottle cap ko. And then, shit, millionaire na ako, tang ina, fuck. Magre-resign na ako sa work ko. Parang,
and 1 million pesos is a huge amount back in the
90s. Yeah, especially in the 90s, right? Like,
yes. I mean, now 1 million pesos is like barya and wala masyadong value wala, na masyadong, wala masyadong in the value. 90s it was so huge.
I know, kasi like alam mo kung ano yung standard ko. Kasi yung Laban o Bawe, yung grand prize nila lagi was 1 million pesos pa at that time.
Yeah, it's not much now.
It's not much now. Pero back then, it was a lot. So like 800,000 people were technically gonna have
1 million pesos each. That's 8 with a lot of zeros after.
Pero, kasi so many people went to Pepsi para mag-redeem, pero Pepsi was like, fuck, no, sorry, nagkamali yung computer namin. And like, it was supposed to be 2 people lang na magkakaroon ng grand prize. Kasi, parang, yung grand prize winner, para makuha niya yung prize, they had to have like a security code na naka-print dun sa bottle cap for them to redeem. So, like, dalawa lang out of that 800,000 na bottle caps na naka-print in 349, just 2 of those bottle caps lang yung naka-print yung security code. Pero they didn't say that. They didn't say na parang, sorry, kailangan mo ng security code neto para ma-redeem mo yung 1 million pesos. So, like, all of those people were like going to Pepsi. It's parang, 1 millionaire na ako, give me my 1 million pesos. Pero Pepsi was like, sorry, nagkamali yung computer namin. We just have like 2 na bottle caps lang na printed with the security code.
Okay.
So it's just gonna be 2 people na nabibigyan namin ng 1 million. And then people fucked shit up. Nagalit lahat. I mean, reasonably, right? Nagalit lahat ng tao na like were...
But wala ba sa ano? Sa like, ang tawag doon? Fine print or like terms and conditions yung security code? Or it's like an internal thing na sasabihin lang nila kapag nanalo ka?
No, kasi in the first place, they weren't supposed to print the winning number in 800,000 bottle caps.
Well, true.
They were supposed to print it lang in 2 bottle caps. Pero nagkaroon ng computer error. Quote and quote, computer error.
So, lahat ng 800,000 bottle caps na yon ay may security code?
No, only 2 of those.
Okay.
Yung may security code.
Okay.
So, only 2 of those technically can redeem yung 1 million peso na price. Okay. But, Pepsi didn't say that. Pepsi said na, oh, if 349 yung nasa cap, no, winning number na yan. So, like, reasonably, everybody was angry, right? Mm-hmm. Parang, putang ina, Pepsi, I have 349 sa cap ko. Honestly, if I had 349 sa cap ko, tas sabi ng Pepsi na 349 yung winning number, punta ako sa, ano, factory na, tas sabihin ko, give me my 1 million pesos, bitch. Parang, tang ina. I can buy, like, what?
If you're back in the 90s, you're gonna buy... Oh, shit.
Back in the 90s, I could have bought...
Matchboxes.
Matchbox 20? Yung buong band? No, yung mismong band na Matchbox 20.
Not the brand. It's a band. Like, Matchbox cars. You knew, I think that was the hit thing in the 90s. I mean, at least for me. What else did I... Tex!
No, but... Wait. Can I, Sorry. Is this gonna be part of the recording? Isasama ba natin to sa recording?
Yes, just keep episode? Talking. I'm not gonna kasi, edit anything.
Kasi naihingi ako. I have to pee. Fuck. just delete this after. I'm gonna pee.
Fine, I'm gonna cut this.
You just cut this na lang and then... Wait, isa-stop ba natin sa recording or are we just gonna continue recording na?
You could pause the recording.
Okay, so ikaw mag-count off.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, pause.
Hello? Pee break over.
Keep going.
Yeah, so like It was 800,000 bottle caps with the same number, same winning number in it, which was 349. But two of those bottle caps lang talaga was supposed to be the winning bottle cap. So, it was two bottle caps lang yung nakakuha lang ng security code, which was the legit ones. Pero yeah. Pepsi was like, I'm sorry guys, kasi like all of the bottle caps that you have, we can't actually give 1 million pesos kasi wala kayo ng security code. And everybody was like, fuck that. Sabi ng Pepsi sa akin, was like, basta may 349 sa bottle cap ko, I'm gonna win 1 million pesos. But like, I think from my notes, parang there was like an emergency meeting ng mga Pepsi executives at like 3 a.m. in the morning, and then everybody was thinking of what to do para makapag-save face and all. Tapos parang they came up with like lahat ng mga ibang mga bottle cap owners, kasi not all of the 800,000 bottle caps were like redeemed.
Okay.
Out of the 800,000 bottle caps, like 400,000 plus lang yung na-redeem na bottle caps. So like not all of the bottle caps.
So like half.
Half. Yeah. Ganun.
Okay.
So 486,170 people. Yun lang yung nag-redeem ng 349 pesos.
Okay.
So, sabi ng Pepsi, they were gonna give whoever did not have yung security code, they were just gonna give 500 pesos each dun sa mga hindi nakakuha ng security code, which if you like add that up, that would be like it cost Pepsi like 240 million pesos para magbigay ng 500 pesos each sa bawat bottle cap owner ng 349 na number.
Yeah, but that's kind of a lot pa rin. Okay. Go.
That was a lot, right? Tapos parang, some of them took yung 500 pesos na consolation prize, but not all of them, actually, parang, not all of them accepted that.
Yeah, are those like the annoying titas? No! I want 1 million pesos! Give me my 1 million pesos! I'm not gonna accept 500! I'm gonna call my lawyer.
Kasi if you have the number, tapos sabi ng Pepsi, oh, you just need the number para makawin ng 1 million pesos. Fuck that. Like, you would actually, yeah, parang, aawayin mo sila to get the 1 million pesos, right? Some of the people dun sa 486,000 na yun, some of the people took yung 500 pesos, but not all of them did. And they formed like a coalition. Parang they formed like an alliance.
Okay.
They would boycott Pepsi, tapos they would parang release anti-Pepsi propaganda. like, don't buy Pepsi, ganun. And it was called like yung 349 Alliance.
Okay, because of the winning number.
Yeah, because of the winning number, 349 Alliance, and I have this in my notes, kasi yung leader niya was a guy named Vicente Del Fierro Jr. Tapos, I have him specifically in my notes kasi he was like the leader ng alliance na yun. Tapos, basically, his job was just like to lead yung group and then just like come up with anti-Pepsi paraphernalia. So, his job was basically to be like publish like anti-Pepsi posters or things or propaganda, like guys don't buy Pepsi. And then in exchange, all of the members of that specific group would like give him like $14 to $80 in annual fees. How much would that be? And like
that depends on the exchange rate of the US dollar back in the 90s. I'm not sure what.
that was $14 to $80 in annual fees from each member. And then, kung sino man yung member na nakasali dun sa alliance na yun, he would get 10% of the money that Pepsi would give them. So,
where do they get the $14 to $80 annual fee? Like, from their own pockets?
From their own pockets. I don't know who specifically said na, guys, give me $14 to $80 of your personal income. Maybe this was like a Patreon account. Maybe this was like a proto Patreon account.
That's kind of fucked up. Like, if you have the money to pay like hundreds of people $14 to $80 annually, why would you run for Pepsi's 1 million peso prize? For fuck's sake, you can afford it. You don't need it.
That's capitalism, bitch. That's basically capitalism.
Okay, they're getting that.
Yeah, but like, they would pay this guy that amount of money every year para lang ipagpatuloy yung anti-Pepsi propaganda. Because people were like so angry. People were so angry at Pepsi.
Yeah.
Fuck Pepsi. Hindi na bibili ng Pepsi ever again. He continued doing that. Tapos, there's a specific quote na I like na he said. Kasi parang sobrang... Sabi niya, I pity Pepsi. I really do. I told Pepsi I'd like to offer my services as a PR consultant to help them rebuild their image after they have paid the claimants. So, parang, this guy was like basically leading yung anti-Pepsi propaganda. Pero he was also marketing himself as a PR consultant ng Pepsi para maligtas yung image ng Pepsi. Right?
Ulterior motives.
I know. Pero like, sorry, whoever Vicente Fierro is, whoever knows who Vicente Fierro is, I have like the utmost respect for you because this guy knows how to market himself. Para
marketing talents and skills. I know a good PR when I see one.
Pero yeah, parang yung complaints kept coming, and this is, well, things got a parang dark turn. Things took a dark turn kasi yung hate towards them got to the point na people were throwing, like, there were protesters. Most of the protests were peaceful. Most of the protests were peaceful, but there were some protesters who like threw like homemade grenades sa mga truck ng Pepsi. Na
what?
Like randomly nagda-drive lang somewhere and then they would throw like homemade na Molotov cocktails dun sa truck na yun.
What?
Or like sa factories ng Pepsi, they would throw those grenades. Just because they hated Pepsi so much. And like, I think, from what I know, like a total of 5 people died because of all the protests. And
what?
2 of those.
Like, are these, like, Pepsi employees?
Like, 3 of those were Pepsi employees, but like, 2, get this, because this is like the saddest part of my story. I'm sorry, pero, like, there was a Pepsi truck that was driving around somewhere, sa Davao. And then somebody, yung protester, threw a grenade. Pero it kept rolling. And then it landed near, it landed near a school teacher tsaka yung 5-year-old kid niya. And they
went
gone. Oh,
shit.
You know, it's so sad and it's so dark. Pero
that was too dark for a pilot episode.
Sorry, pero, sorry. I had to tell it. Kasi parang, God. I mean, I understand yung protesters for all their hate at saka all their parang turmoil, all of the turmoil that they were going through at that time. But like,
yeah, there were collateral damage. Yeah, and they're not even involved.
Absolutely, they were collateral damage. Na parang they just this random school teacher and then their 5-year-old kid.
Right. God.
Yeah,
okay.
But
okay.
That got to the point na yan, and there was a there was a quote unquote like a Pepsi. He was a guard daw sa isang Pepsi factory who like whistleblowed na Pepsi was doing some of those grenade launches on purpose. Like they were hiring people para daw mag-throw ng grenades sa sarili ng factories just to put blame on the protesters.
Security guard
daw ng Pepsi said na yun daw
like yung like a whistleblower.
Yeah, a whistleblower. But the court decided na it wasn't like there was not enough evidence for them to believe na yun yung nangyari. And get this, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, who was like a senator at that time, said na that wasn't probably true. What was probably true was yung rival na companies were probably hiring people to do that para daw to blame everything on Pepsi.
Okay.
But it was never proven naman. Yeah, it was never proven and there was never anything legit. There were multiple complaints na that were thrown around. It was like 689 civil suits and 5,200 criminal complaints, and it was mostly like some of those were legitimately thrown off, pero Pepsi had to pay damages for some of the other complaints, like moral damages, ganon. Pero it wasn't until 2006 where like the Supreme Court said no. Sorry, Pepsi was technically not liable for any of the damages that they caused for the whole thing that happened. Pero it's kind of funny kasi they had a similar fiasco in Chile. Parang it was the wrong number then that said
misprinted numbers. Okay.
It was a misprinted number. I don't know if it was the same marketing firm that handled yung contest ng Pepsi dito sa Philippines.
Is this like a marketing strategy? It's not like really...
I have no idea. Pero Pepsi somehow regained the numbers along the way. Kasi ngayon, I had no idea that this happened. When I found out, when I read about this, sabi ko, shit, pangina, nangyari pala to. I asked my mom if nangyari ba talaga. This was 1992. And she remembered it. She said she remembered it. Sabi niya, yeah, it was like sobrang gago. Na parang, like, so many people were angry at Pepsi, ganyan. And it actually
happened. I don't really remember this.
Like, yeah, you couldn't, because you were like 6 years old. But yeah.
Yeah.
That was my story. And I'm sorry it took a dark turn, pero.
You kind of did.
But it was fun, right?
But was it ever resolved? Like, nabayaran ba yung mga nagka-claim or not?
Some of them, yung mga other complaints, they were paid off for moral damages. So, binayaran sila ng Pepsi. But like, yung Supreme Court said na, yeah, sorry, Pepsi can't really pay all of you 1 million pesos para sa maling mistake nila.
Okay.
And this was 2006, so like, that happened in 1992. And the Supreme Court said their final rule in 2006. So that was like 14 years, right? I don't do math. I can't do math right.
You're the architect here, so you're supposed to be good at math. But okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice story.
Thanks.
Think?
Think.
Should I? Okay, so this is like a two-part, two-story special, because it's the pilot episode, so this is gonna be fun. Is it my turn?
It's your turn. It's my turn to react. Ako yung audience now.
Alright, my story is gonna be like way, way, way back. Way, way back. Way, way back. This is, God, I'm kind of tipsy, wait. Yeah. I hope I could read this. Nakakainis kasi the webpage is white. And then sakit niya sa mata. So, this is the time when
that's
Antonio...
That's why inilagay ko yung notes ko sa phone.
I can't read
saka
it.
Saka naka-highlight lahat ng mga kailangan kong sabihin na important.
Okay, anyway, my story is the time when Antonio Luna and Jose Rizal nearly killed each other. So, some of you guys might be familiar with this cuento, but I don't care. Okay.
I don't care if you know all care. What's important is I know.
Okay. So, before, well, I think everyone knows Antonio Luna because yung movie was General Luna, right? That was him.
I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it? No, but yeah, no, it's Antonio Luna in that movie, but as a general. But this cuento is that time before he became a war general in the Philippines.
Okay. Okay.
So, before he was hacked to death in Cabanatuan. So, Antonio Luna, the Filipino general, was already teasing death. Because Luna is known for being hot-headed and impulsive.
No, he is.
And no, he's really mainitan ang ulo. And he's sensitive. So, I didn't check his birthday. I think I saw his birthday, but I didn't care.
I was
but
gonna this is, ask, anong sign
niya? It's not Chastrology, it's a different podcast, so we're not gonna talk about that. But yeah, so he's
that's for the viewers to, speculate.
I will check after, but he's hot-headed, and he's a sensitive guy. And he usually impulsively challenged his perceived enemies to a duel, all in the name of honor. So, surprisingly...
I mean, people used to do that back in the day. Parang, fuck, tangina. Imagine if that happened right now, tapos parang, you said something wrong about yung finale ng Umbrella Academy, tapos I wanna challenge you to a duel kasi ang babo na sinabi mo about Umbrella Academy.
I don't know, toxic masculinity goes back centuries, so... Whatever. Anyway, surprisingly, among those who found themselves on the receiving end of that legendary temper was Jose Rizal, who became Luna's friend and compatriot when they were both studying in Europe. So
I know this.
Yeah, let's get into this. Before this heated encounter, dun sa dalawa, Rizal actually urged his fellow expatriates to help Luna in his proposed duel, again, another duel, with a Spanish journalist known by the pseudonym Mir Deas. So, M-I-R Deas. Mir Deas.
Why did he ask a duel? Because of magic.
It's because of this. At that time, Luna had just begun writing his impressions of Madrid in La Solidaridad under the pen name Tagailog. One of Luna's opinion pieces didn't sit well with Mir Deas, who wrongly attributed the work to his brother, Juan Luna, and even described the latter as an ingrate, because Juan Luna was famous in Europe that time. So.
Yeah,
the younger Luna took matters into his own hands and traveled all the way.
Wait, Antonio Luna was younger? Oh, God.
Antonio is the younger, yeah. Juan is the older one. So, yeah, he took...
Again, this series is just affects my ignorance. Down to that 95. Anyway.
We're drunk. So, as I was saying, the younger Luna took matters into his own hands and traveled all the way from Madrid to Barcelona. In a letter to Rizal.
I appreciate that. Barcelona.
It's Barcelona. Whatever. In a letter to Rizal, Antonio described how he met Mir Deas face to face in a cafe in Barcelona. He said, I asked him who he was. I did not know him. Called him a vile, despicable coward, spat in his face and threw him my card back.
What the fuck?
I know. The Spaniard, the Spanish journalist, who Luna insultingly called mierdas. In Spanish, it means shit.
So, shit. Yeah, shit. Yeah.
Mierdas. It didn't accept the latter's invitation to a duel, so nagdeklaim siya sa duel. Instead, he denounced the expatriates to the police for a violation of the printing law. So, eto na yung kwento. Walang kinalaman yun, actually, pero...
It was good. It was good.
It was setting the stage and saying how hot-headed... Yeah, how hot-headed Antonia Luna is. So, Luna returned to Madrid after that whole scuffle in Barcelona, only to realize that the girl he had been courting was becoming deeply infatuated with Jose Rizal. Oh, sige, pati Rizal, ganun yung pronunciation. So.
Oh, no. Rizal.
Rizal.
Do you think maybe... Sabay sila nag-match sa Bumble? Chuck.
What's Bumble back in the 1800s? But whatever.
A specific Bumble bee na magsisend ng messages dun sa kung sino yung kinukort mo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so speaking of that, the subject of both men's affection was Nelly Busted. Busted. How do you pronounce it? Busted? Busted. The half Filipina.
What was she? Was she German? Oh, half Filipina.
He's half, she's half Filipina, and it didn't specify, it just says you're half European.
This would have been a much better story if he's.
I didn't Google, I could Google na, pero tinatamad na ako. So, she's half Filipina and half European wherever she is in Europe. So, take a pick of country you want. Poland.
I'm gonna say, ano yung country dun sa ano?
Albania.
Eurovision.
Eurovision? It's Iceland.
Iceland. Yeah, Icelandic. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, Nelly Busted, she's half Filipina, half European. She would go down in history as the woman whom Rizal almost married. So, Nelly not only captured the hearts of both Luna and Rizal, but also aroused the curiosity of other Filipino propagandists such as Tomas Arejola, who said, since last year, I have heard a number of times here about this young lady who is also a Filipina. I am told she is to be recommended because of her excellent upbringing, her most attractive moral and physical qualities, and in addition, because she is a Filipina. So, sobrang like way back pa pala yung Filipino pride, no? So, kahit half ka. Ooh, Filipino.
I wish that kind of imagine your DMs kung ganyan yung pagka-describe na sa'yo.
It's like a recommendation letter. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Moving on. Luna and Rizal often went on dates with Nelly and her younger sister Adelina. Rizal first met the Busteds in Paris in the summer of 1889, and they had since become part of a circle of friends, also composed of the Lunas and the Pardo de Tavera brothers. So, a love triangle.
Oh no.
Soon blossomed, prompting Luna to write a letter to Rizal to address the growing rivalry between them. Yes.
Oh,
God. He said, wait, I'm stuck in the ulap.
Sige. Okay.
He said, we have no reason to be cold to each other. For many times I asked you if you felt love for Nelly, and you told me no. Ay gago, fuckboy si Rizal.
No, hindi fuckboy si Rizal. He's a soft boy.
Yeah,
complete soft boy.
He's a combination of both, which is worse. But yeah, he doesn't love Nelly, sabi nga ni Luna. Consequently, I was already sure of you. certain you are my friend. Therefore, Chico, we ought to continue as friends as I thought we never ceased to be. So yun yung letter ni Luna kay Rizal. But when he realized that Nelly's heart didn't belong to him, Antonio, anxiety got the better of him, Antonio Luna. Adding insult to injury was the fact that his brother, Juan Luna, who didn't trust him, had to send all the money for Antonio's education through Rizal. So, si Juan Luna, magpapadala siya ng pera para sa education ni Antonio. Dadaan kay Rizal.
Tapos ibigay ni Rizal kay Antonio?
Yes. So, para ang dating ngayon is Rizal was the one providing pera kay Antonio.
Pera kay Antonio?
Yes. So, di ba?
Oh, fuck.
It doesn't feel nice. So, being a sensitive person.
I don't think anybody dito sa situation right now. Imagine like having a Bumble match. Tapos yung friend mo na naka-Bumble match din nung match mo. Siya yung nagbibigay ng pera sa'yo.
Yes.
No.
So imagine, for example, you're going on a date. Tapos hihingi ka ng pera dun sa alam. Dun sa naka-match
sa ka-date? Yung sa kalaban mo? Oh, no.
Who's also dating the naka-match mo, diba? Sobrang, But, okay. The big explosion came in the summer of 1890 when both men attended a reunion of Filipino expatriates in Madrid. Antonio Luna, like us right now, got drunk. And as with any person who suddenly becomes braver under the influence of alcohol, he made the sarcastic remark about Nelly and Rizal. I don't know what the sarcastic remark is, but I'll search when I'm sober. So
or think. Or it was like,
must be a joke about Rizal's height. So. You could do that. Sige, kaya mo yan. So, develop mo yan. But anyway, after that sarcastic remark, an argument ensued between the two men, with one of them challenging the other to a duel. Guess who?
I'm gonna guess si Rizal yung nag-challenge ng duel kyan.
It was Juan Pardo de Tavera. Hindi, joke lang. Si Antonio Luna.
Fuck!
No, and they actually, historians have different accounts. It's not sure who challenged
I wanna who. I wanna believe na si Rizal yung nag-challenge ng duel kay Antonio. Kasi like, lahat ng mga, everything that I believe about Rizal is just like prim and proper at saka sophisticated. I just wanna believe that this time, just like, meron siyang, may girl siya na gustong like, just like, gotta get not, all over that girl. This guy was like, fuck.
I am not gonna Jodie Foster this behavior because this is historical revisionism. Yeah. So, we're not sure who challenged who.
No, gusto ko lang maniwala na ganun.
But I'm not gonna foster that. I'm not condoning this. But anyway, you were not sure who challenged who, but it is said that the duo didn't push through thanks to the cooler heads who intervened. So, yung mga friends nila, yung mga propagandists din, humarang or like, intervene nila.
Bro.
Ganyan. So imagine very Atenista levels or LaSalle sa where's that? What's that bar in LaSalle?
Beach.
Basta doon.
Fuck kayo to.
Whatever, it's closed now. It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
But, so, Luna, after this whole thing, was brought to his home and apologized to Rizal as soon as he sobered up. And on behalf of his brother, Juan Luna, naman, wrote a letter of apology to Rizal from France.
Oh, wow.
He was in France that time. Juan Luna wrote the letter of apology in August 1890. Excuse me.
Oh, it's August, guys. It's the anniversary of that episode.
Yeah, I don't know what date that is. But anyway, it said, "I suppose that this incident will not be the cause of any resentment between the Filipinos and Antonio for having taken back what he had said and gave them permission to tie him if he got drunk again." He showed that he was repentant of the evil he had caused the gathering and his friends. It is true that Antonio has a strong character and he is very sensitive. Feeling ko Aris to si Antonio.
No, do you want to know? Because I just checked on you, zodiac sign.
No, I don't want to know. This is.
I'm gonna say after that, but like.
Sabi ni Juan Luna. He has a strong character and he is very sensitive. This is very good if the cause is just. Sabi niya. So, months after the confrontation, Rizal went to France for a vacation. So he stayed at the Busted residence in the Seaside.
He stayed.
Yes, because God. He is a fuckboy.
He Busted got
residence
some.
In the Seaside Resort Town. I said Seasort.
I'm sorry. I'm so completely sorry to anyone who's listening for saying that Rizal got some, like, for putting that image in your head.
Why are you apologizing?
I don't know.
I don't put our heroes in a pedestal. They're humans, so it's fine. So, Rizal stayed in the Busted residence in the seaside resort town of Biarritz. It was here where the affection between the love-struck Jose and Nelly grew stronger. As for the hopeless Luna, he finally conceded and wrote Rizal another letter, this time without any sign of bitterness. Ang sabi niya, with respect,
man, like sayo na siya, tang ina.
No.
Puta, happy for you, bro.
Sabi niya, with respect to Nelly, frankly, I think there is nothing between us more than one of those friendships enlivened by being fellow countrymen. It seems to me that there is nothing more. My word of honor, I believe that she will bring happiness not only to you, but to any other man who is worthy of her. I congratulate you as one congratulates a friend. Aww. So, ano siya?
Nag-concede.
Nagpa-ubaya. Yeah.
Nagpa-ubaya siya.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jose Rizal and Nelly Busta didn't end up happily ever after.
I'm
on the last part of my
question. I never expected na si Antonio yung nagpa-ubaya.
He's like that. He's a very sensitive person. Anyway. Unfortunately, Jose Rizal and Nelly Busta didn't end up happily ever after. The romance ended as soon as Nelly insisted on Rizal to embrace Protestantism.
No, yeah. You know what I think?
What?
Feeling ko Nelly got some. Tapos sabi niya, I got what I need from this guy. Sabi niya, you know what? Mag-protest ka na lang. Just be the national hero of the Philippines. Just get it over.
Protestantism is.
That's
a religion. Eto nga. Turns out her condition was too much for Rizal. Kasi at that time, Rizal was no longer a fan of organized religion. So, yeah.
Rizal, I feel you.
And that's how their relationship came to a close.
And then,
which would ended in marriage
nag-break si Jose Rizal tsaka si Nelly Busted
because Nelly of religion.
Was too religious. Oh, fuck.
No, because Nelly was a Protestant.
Yeah, but like, Rizal was what? Agnostic?
Or a Mason. Onion. A Freemason.
Onion. Does that mean na wino-worship niya yung mga naggagawa ng masonry? Is that
no.
It?
We'll talk about Freemasonry in some other episode.
Sino man yung nag-listen, I just want you to know I'm stupid. Like,
and he's drunk.
No.
You are. I'm not yet drunk. I'm tipsy. So. But anyway, yun. That's how it ended. And it's Antonio Luna who was listening that time.
But Rizal was never
like, sorry din naman siya.
I searched. Yeah. Do you want to know kung ano yung zodiac sign sila? I searched right now.
Anong zodiac sign ni Antonio Luna?
Luna was a Scorpio.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes total sense. Okay. No wonder.
Pero Rizal was a Gemini. Do you know that? Rizal was a Gemini.
But I just... I know. And I hate it. I hate it. That's why he's like that.
He was a fucking Gemini, and I just knew about that right now.
Yes. Anyway, that's my cuento. Something about inuman. Kasi nag-inuman sila, and nag-kaaway, and it resulted in a duel na hindi rin naman natuloy. But, would it be fun kung nagbarilan silang dalawa?
Whoa, sige. My question is, if nagbarilan sila, who do you think would have won?
Depends on who's more sober.
Well, Luna was more drunk, pero I honestly think it would have been Luna. Fini ko mas nanalo si Luna. That moment.
Well, yeah, he became a war general after, and there is a thing called Luna Sharpshooters, but that's gonna be a topic for a different episode.
For a different time.
Anyway, thank you so much. It's been an hour now for a two-part episode, pilot episode.
I think it's been more than an hour, but thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. If you'd like to check out our socials, where it doesn't have much yet, it's at Historinoms on Twitter, and it's at Historinoms Podcast on Facebook. I forgot the Instagram. I'm just gonna post it.
Hindi ko pa alam kung ano yung Instagram namin, pero I think we're gonna post it na lang sa
yeah.
hindi kasi ako yung social media manager namin, so
it's me. Yeah, I just said that. Anyway, thank you for listening.
I'm just here to provide content.
Bye, guys. We're
bye,
drunk.
Sige, bye. Okay, goodbye. Bye.
are you like gonna say something public?
No. Because we never talked about a goodbye.
Tama na, stop recording.
Sige, stop recording. And okay, ikaw mag-count off.
One, two, three, stop.